Is there anyone on your team, or maybe in your family, or even in your congregation, who is no longer engaged? They've gone silent. They're just clocking in and clocking out. Or they're present, but not really participating. You want to try to change that? Today, we unlock a killer tip on how to do that. This is episode number 2.
This is the Decide to Lead podcast with Russ Hill.
Welcome into episode number 2 of the brand new Decide to Lead podcast with me, Russ Hill. This podcast is for people who are not yet who they want to become, and for people who are looking for hacks, tips on how to more effectively lead and help other people. We cover everything from time management to productivity to spirituality to leadership development. It's all in these episodes. I'm Russ Hill, and for those of you who've never met me, and I realize some of you, we've interacted either personally or professionally. Maybe you've seen me on a stage or read something I've written or been in a meeting that I've run somewhere in the world. For a decent number of you, though, you've never interacted with me, have no clue who I am. The short version is I work for a firm that's a training and consulting company, and my job is to travel the world and help coach leaders, typically senior executives of large organizations, and we work with them on how to change their culture, how to achieve extraordinary results. And so as you can imagine, in that line of work, you see a lot, you learn a lot. And so this podcast is a place where I can casually share those stories and share some observations. And so in this episode today, and by the way, if you haven't yet, I would love for you to subscribe to this podcast. Give it a shot. Listen to a few episodes and see if it's for you. If you like it, man, it would mean the world to me if you would rate it or leave a review on iTunes, share it with someone in social media, Facebook, Instagram, with a link to it if you can, where that's possible. I just really appreciate you being here, and I hope that somebody out there is getting value from it. The website, the show notes for this episode are at russhill.com/2, russhill, RUSSHILL.com/2. You can find where to interact with me on social media and show notes from today's episode. So let's dive into it. To start off this episode, I want to tell you a story. And this is about an experience that, quite honestly, totally changed my life. And it happened when I was young, when I was a teenager. To set it up, the quick background on this is I grew up in a military family, which means that we moved a lot. And we lived everywhere from Germany to Alabama, Texas, Oklahoma, lots of different places. And I knew as a kid growing up in a family that where my dad served in the United States Army, I knew that, you know, every time I met a new friend in a new city or went to and sat in a classroom at a new school, I knew I wouldn't be there long. And so I my personality was such that I viewed the popular kids. So I didn't know anybody most places. Every 3 years, I had the experience of completely wiping out the friends I knew and the group of people I knew and having to just start over. So you did that throughout my elementary school years, middle school, high school years. And so that affected me in good and challenging ways. And then I was quiet. I had a speech impediment growing up, and I couldn't say R's very well, which is an issue when your first name is Russell. And so my mom got me therapy for that and speech therapy. And over time, I really worked on that, and that problem faded. But I didn't grow up confident. I wasn't like the popular kids. I thought they were different. They were more talented. They're better at sports. They were just different than I was. And so if you're ever to look at me in a classroom anytime in my education growing up, I was the kid sitting in the back who was quiet. It wasn't that I was unhappy or in some dark place. It was better for someone else to speak. I didn't have a lot of confidence. And so in high school, the experience I had that changed all of that happened during a year when my schedule looked like this. I had history and the typical classes, history, science. I had English. I was taking a typing class because back then they taught you how to, it was an elective. They taught you how to type on a typewriter, which is hilarious to me now that I spent a semester learning how to type on a typewriter. I mean, those skills have helped me tremendously, except for the whiteout. I think we spent like 2 weeks on how to white out something, which some of you can totally appreciate, and those of you who are younger cannot. Just trust me, it's funny looking back at it. But so that was my schedule. I also had one other elective that was journalism, because even though I wasn't confident, and now this seems pretty funny to me looking back at it, I always wanted to be a news reporter. From my earliest time as a kid, I always knew I wanted to be a news reporter, which is funny because I was the kid that never talked and that never said anything and had no confidence. So how the crud are you going to put somebody like that on television and speak to the world? But that was my dream. And so I signed up for journalism in high school. The teacher of journalism and the guy who was the advisor for the student newspaper, and this was in the suburbs of San Antonio, Texas, where I went to high school. The advisor was a guy by the name of Mann, Mr. Kim Mann. And Mr. Mann one day asked me to stay after class. And so everybody funneled out of the classroom, and I was a little bit nervous, wondering, you know, you never want the teacher to ask you to stay after. But I hadn't done anything wrong. I had a pretty clear conscience. And so I stayed after class, and Mr. Mann came up and talked to me. And he said, "Russell, you need to know something about my class. You need to know that if you do not talk in this class, you will fail." And I thought, what in the world are you saying? Like, that isn't right. You can't fail somebody for not talking. And then he went on and he said something to the effect of, what I remember about it was, he talked to me about how much he wanted to hear my opinion, how he thought that I had talents and abilities and that the class would be better off and other people, the class would go better and they would get more out of it if I would talk. And that if I didn't start speaking right away in the class, he was going to fail me. And so I walked out of that classroom. I'll forever remember this. I walked out of that classroom and I thought, he really wants to hear me. He really thinks I have something valuable to add. He thinks I can make the class better. Wow. And it had a profound effect on me. And the way I describe that is, it's the time in my life where I really discovered that I had a voice and it needed to be heard. And it changed everything for me. And some people would say they wish that that never happened because I've used my voice a little too much in the years since then. They wish I'd quiet down a little bit, but be that as it may, that's what happened to me. And why do I tell you that story? The reason I tell you that story is because so many organizations have people whose voices are not being heard. So many families have an individual family member whose voice is not being heard. Congregations, whatever the application is for you, whatever your background is, whatever you have responsibility for, I want you to think about this. There are three reasons. I've thought a lot about this in coaching leaders, executives around the world. I've thought a lot about this, and this I've come up with this idea that there are three reasons why people do not speak up in families or at work or wherever else. And in companies, we call that being engaged. And Gallup, which surveys about this every year, some of you have seen these numbers. I mean, they're miserable. In the United States, 7 out of 10 employees say they are not engaged in their jobs. Which is, I mean, I don't care how many times I've heard that statistic. It's stunning. 7 out of 10 employees say they're not engaged. They're just clocking in and clocking out. They're looking for the next gig. They're looking for the next job. It's crazy how much that costs. If you're an entrepreneur with just a few employees, think how devastating that is. For even large organizations, let's say you got 1,000 employees, which isn't that big. Let's say you have 100,000 employees. That means 70,000 of the 100 are not engaged. Think how much that affects everything. And so disengaged employees, why are they disengaged? My belief on that, based on being in hundreds of organizations all over the world, is this. Disengaged employees don't feel heard. Disengaged family members don't feel heard. Disengaged members of a congregation, if you have responsibility for volunteering or leading a religious group, they don't feel heard. So they're clocking in, clocking out. Or I'm living under this roof, but I'm just kind of hanging out in my room and not saying much. And so, or I don't really talk to whoever. If I'm an adult in a family, maybe I don't interact as much as people want me to or engage as much. So what are the three reasons that cause someone to go quiet or to not feel like their voice is heard or not speak up? These are the three things. The first is confidence. The second is audience. And the third is difference. These are the three things that cause people to not speak up. When any of these three things are missing, confidence, audience, difference. Let's dive into them. I'm going to go through these fairly quickly. I'll put more on the show notes at russhill.com/2 for episode 2, russhill.com/2. Okay, so if you're driving and you want to write this down or whatever, just go to those show notes at russhill.com/2. Okay, when you can get to a computer or on your phone later. Okay, the first one, confidence. When I feel like I'm not sure I have something valuable to add to the discussion, I lack confidence and I tend not to speak up. Who is this normally in an organization? At work, it's the new people. It's somebody who just got hired. I'm not yet sure, not everybody, because some people come in with tons of confidence. Other people, they're kind of feeling their way around. They're not sure what's appropriate, what's not appropriate here. They're not sure where people want to listen to them or think they have a valuable opinion to add. So it's new people or it's somebody who's been added put into a new position. So let's say I've just been made a manager of an organization. I go to my first, but I've been at the company for 10 years, but you just promoted me into a manager position. So I go to my first management team meeting. Typically, I wouldn't speak up if I don't have confidence because I'm not sure how to interact with this team yet. I'm not sure if I have something valuable to add. In a family, this could be, you know, if you think of a family setting, it might be, well, I don't feel like I'm like anyone sees value in what I'm saying. So it might not be that I feel that way, meaning it may not be that I feel like I don't have anything valuable to add. It may be an experience you've created for me that makes me feel like whatever I add isn't valuable, which gets into our second point. So the first one's confidence, and the second one's audience. When people don't speak up due to audience, it's because the leader is not providing opportunities for people to be heard. And I could spend like an hour and a half in an episode, and maybe we will at some point, on this topic. It's huge. Great leaders intentionally create experiences where people feel heard. They do it one-on-one, and they do it in large settings, in meetings. So, And the way I think about this is, what kind of an environment am I creating as a leader? Am I creating a gravitational feeling or a organic feeling? In a gravitational environment, everything comes from the top down. Opinions and commands are dropped from the top to the bottom. It's like gravity. They rarely float from the bottom to the top. And so when that kind of environment exists, I don't really feel like I have an audience. Or if a leader sends out a lot of emails with policies or procedures or results that they want us to achieve, but never asks for my opinion on them and doesn't seem interested in them, then I feel like there's not an audience and I don't speak up and my engagement tends to go down. The third area that causes people to not speak up is difference. In this environment, people might feel confident. They feel like they could make a difference. They might even be given opportunities from a leader to voice their opinion. But if my voice isn't making any difference, if I speak up but it rarely leads to any change, then I feel like I'm not making a difference. Why even speak up? It's not going to do anything. And so I go quiet. So whether you're leading a family, leading a congregation, or you lead a team, either as a low-level manager, mid-level manager, or senior executive, I want you to think about what experiences you can create that cause people to have confidence. That means if I've got a new person on the team, publicly I'm asking for their opinion. I'm validating it. I'm doing some things to really make sure that the new employee, the new member of the family, the in-law, you can think about applications personally and professionally on this. I'm doing things to help that newer person feel competent. And I'm making sure that I'm not doing anything intentionally or unintentionally. And I'm going to make mistakes in this area sometimes, but I'm trying to limit the amount of experiences I'm creating that are causing people to lose competence. Okay. The second, like I'm like criticizing new ideas or telling people, oh, you don't understand how we do things around here. Or someone shares an opinion in a family and we're just always shooting it down. They hold a different belief. They are a little bit different than maybe other members of the family. And I'm just shooting down their ideas or telling them they're wrong. Well, they're going to lose competence. And so that I'm going to create experiences that cause people to have confidence. Number two, I'm going to create intentional experiences that cause people to have an audience. So I'm going to be in a meeting and I'm going to announce the new policy, the new procedure, the new result, the sales number for the quarter, whatever it is, or the next year. And I'm going to ask people, what questions do you have about this new policy? What questions do you have about this sales number? And I'm not going to continue speaking in that meeting as the leader running it until somebody asks me some questions. And in some cultures, this is an out-of-body experience because we've never been asked our opinion. Everything's been gravitational, top-down, heavy-handed, just handed to you, and those are your marching orders, and go. And in those cases, don't be fooled by some people that actually achieve the result. Their engagement is not going to be as high. Over time, you're going to be seeing disengaged employees because they're not going to feel like they have an audience. Then one-on-one, whether I'm a sales leader that goes on drives, you know, sales calls with an employee, a sales rep, or whether I'm a senior executive visiting a location, whether it's going and visiting some of the restaurants in our chain or a plant or whatever it is, or even in a family. And I got teenagers or even young kids at home, I'm creating experiences where I'm asking people's opinion. So our summer vacation is going to be determined in part by what the kids want to do. Where do you want to go? What do this next weekend we're going to, what do you guys want to do? Or we're having a challenge in our home about this. We need to solve it. What are some solutions you all have? Not gravitational top down. I mean, you know there needs to be plenty of that in a home, okay? So don't misunderstand what I'm saying here when I'm talking about the personal application about this. But whether at home, at a church or volunteer organization, or in a work environment, I'm intentionally creating experiences that cause people to feel like they have an audience. The leader is listening, wants to listen. The last area, difference. How do you make people feel like the ideas they're sharing are leading to differences? You've got to do it. You've got to communicate changes you're making in the family, with the vacation, with the chore chart, whatever it might be, what time the chores need to be done, or in an organization, you know, this policy or that policy or whatever it might be. I'm communicating, I'm closing that loop and communicating the differences we are as a leadership team making based on the feedback people are giving. Why is that important? Because then it causes us to go, oh, they're actually listening. Like our parents are listening. Or that pastor or preacher or the leader of that volunteer organization is listening to the volunteers or the members of the organization. Or in a work environment, they're actually listening to the employees. So don't put out changes without communicating that they were changes as a result of who voiced an opinion. So three things that cause people to not speak up: competence, audience, difference. This has been huge for me, you all, as I've seen leaders, so many don't create these kinds of experiences, and it's not natural for a lot of us. And so as a leader, and leadership's a choice, so whether you have direct reports or work or whatever you do, just I'm sure you're a leader in different areas of your life, think of those experiences you can create that will help people feel engaged by helping them feel like they have a voice. Think again to the way I started this podcast episode with the example of Mr. Man. Mr. Man raised my level of engagement in life in a huge way, because for the first time in like an academic setting, a setting outside my house, I felt like somebody actually wanted to hear what I had to say. They gave me an audience. They communicated. Mr. Man told me what I said was probably going to make a difference. It was going to make the class better. And he gave me confidence by saying, Russell, I feel like you've got something valuable to add, and you've got to add it. In that case, he told me he was going to fail me if I didn't, so there was another motivator. But he made me feel like I not only did I have a voice, but it needed to be heard. So what experiences can you create at home, at work, at whatever organization you volunteer to cause people to think, I know you've got a voice, and I want to hear it? When you do that, be prepared to watch engagement go way up. It's a reality. I've coached a ton of leaders around the world on this in the last year or two as I've discovered it and thought a lot about it, and it leads to dramatic changes. Give it a try. I'd love to hear your feedback. Okay, that's episode number two. Again, check out the show notes, russhill.com/2. You can on that page, you'll see more of a description of these three things. So if you weren't able to take notes and wanted to off what we were talking about today, I've got them written down there. You can look at those and think more about this and how it applies to you. The other thing you can find in the show notes are ways to add me on social media because I want to interact with you. Okay, episode 3 is ready for download right now. You can go grab it if you haven't already. Here's what you're going to get. You're going to get a raw interview that's super inspiring and motivational. Here's what the interview is about. It's with a former colleague and employee of mine and a personal friend of mine. And this story he's going to tell in the next episode, we start off talking about a turnaround that the two of us were leading in the media business, back when we worked in the media business. And so we talk about this turnaround, and then we talk about one of the darkest days this individual had in his life. He gets very raw talking about it, and it's because of something that happened at work. And then he describes what he turned that into, which is unbelievable. You're not going to believe what he's turned it into. I'd love for you to listen to that interview in episode number 3. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of the brand new Decide to Lead podcast with me, Russ Hill. Thanks, everybody.